So what would it be like if God were to show up today and walk in here with a physical body and make his presence known? I'll tell you a couple of things. Number one, I would not be preaching. Neither would Jake or Josh. We'd just hand the microphone right over to Jesus, okay? He may not need a mic. He spoke to 5,000 people without a mic on a hillside. If you've ever tried to speak outdoors, the sound goes straight up, but somehow they all heard him, and they all were fed. It's just amazing. So we're going to tell a story today about Jesus being present. And Jesus was present at the temple early in the morning. A lot of people came to hear him teach. You're going to hear about four different characters in the story. One's Jesus. One's a lady. That's the one that you see on the ground. We'll talk about her in just a second. There were some religious leaders. They were called Pharisees. If Pharisees were around today, do you know what they'd be called? Baptists. Probably the closest thing in religion in America today to Pharisees are Baptists. And we want to be good Pharisees, not bad Pharisees. Good Baptists, not bad Baptists. But they really tried. Pharisees mean to be separate. And they wanted to be separate from the world, and they wanted to be right and serving God. And they had a lot of really good things. They just got out of balance. And I think a lot of what Jesus did to try to speak to the Pharisees was to sort of goad them into thinking differently about who he was and who God was, and they changed their way. Part of what we do today is to do the very same thing. Some of us need to be goaded. Some of us need to think a little bit about our life with God to make sure we're following his will. So there were Pharisees. There's the woman. We'll talk about her in a second. There's Jesus. He is the center stage. And then there's a fellow that we won't mention because Jake's going to talk about it in a minute, and I don't want to steal all his words about this guy. So this is the story. Here's the woman, John chapter 8. And go back to my picture just for a second, Corin. Corin's saying, I'm trying to read Bob's mind, and it's really hard. It's okay. You're doing well. So here's the story. Jesus is teaching, and they bring this woman. They caught her in adultery, in the very act of adultery. And so they snatched her up, and they brought her to Jesus, not because they wanted anything to do with that woman, but because they wanted to accuse Jesus. Now, I just want to stop right here and just say to you, if we are accusing brothers and sisters in Christ, at the end of the day, who are we hurting? We're hurting Jesus. And so we need to hear Jesus' words here very carefully. So I'm going to goad some of us Baptists who have a great job of pointing that long finger at somebody else and standing taller by standing on top of their sins. Okay? Just a little side note here. So they threw her in front of Jesus, and Jesus had a conversation with all of them. They came to him, and they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say? Now, they were trying to put Jesus right in the middle of a conflict. And the conflict was this. Jesus was a giver of mercy. And so they're gonna line him up between mercy and the law. The Bible says this. You need to go punish this woman. What did Jesus do? He just knelt down and he drew in the dirt. And they just kept on going on and on and on with the story. And so Jesus had an answer for them. He said in verse 7, let any one of you who's without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. For those of us who are ready to condemn our brothers and sisters, we need to ask ourselves, am I without sin? There's a verse that Paul uses a whole lot that speaks to me, and that is, are you the judge? Are you the master of someone else? Are you someone who can judge this person's life? And a guy have to say, no, Lord, I'm not. So it's a good word. So Jesus drew in the dirt, if you're without sin. And what do? They all began dropping their rocks. They began walking away. And Jesus was left all alone with the woman. So he straightened up and he asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one. And so then he said, neither do I condemn you. And those of you who are very familiar with the story know there's more to that sentence, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But right now I want to turn over here to Josh. Josh, you've been on both sides of this deal. You have been the one who was condemned, and now you're one who's been accepted. And why don't you talk about your life and then bring the crowd into it, if you would.
Yeah, you know, this is a pretty good story to get an idea of who Jesus really is. And a lot of us here today, just like this lady, she's lived, her decisions have led her into this place. And she isn't without sin, just like I wasn't. I really did the things that they said I did, just like her. Nobody made it up. I lived this way and was guilty, just like she was. And I never, she was probably really surprised. I'm sure she probably thought that Jesus was going to do the same thing, just like a lot of us did. When I stumbled in Maywood, I sat in the back and I didn't want to be involved with anybody because I thought the same thing, that I didn't know who Jesus was. And just like she didn't, I had done the things that were good for death. And I think this is, I felt probably just like she did, just like you might feel, that there was a time in my life where everybody had a rock in their hand. Everybody had a rock to throw at me. And I just felt really condemned, and I didn't know what I know today. And I just say, if you're here today, tune into this message. It could change your life.
Let me just, before you stop, tell us, because you met the Lord, and you felt welcomed. You're probably one of our more welcomed people here at the church. And how did it change? How did you go from thinking everybody's got a rock to feeling welcomed? Tell us some of those early stages, because there's somebody here who maybe came in, maybe for the first time. And by the way, we said this in the early service, we'll say it now. If this is your first time at Maywood, you're the most important person here. And we want you to know what Josh is getting ready to tell you. How did you feel welcomed by the Lord? How did that happen to you?
I think that one of the main things is that I didn't just come once and make a decision. That I kept coming, and I got involved here, and I found out that the people in this church, they weren't condemning me. They weren't like, man, you're a drug addict, dude. You're freaking high on some dope. You got to get out of here, man. It was the opposite. That people in this church, man, they love me. And they brought me in. And they will do the same thing for you, man.
That's good. That's good. So we don't want you to leave today. We're going to leave this for just a second. Jake is going to talk about the man in the story that we don't read about. But we don't want you to come today and to hear this as a bunch of just religious words blabbed by three guys on a Sunday morning. We want you to hear this as the reality of God. There is a real God who wants you to be his personal friend. And he wants to live with you in a way that will transform your life. He welcomes you. He doesn't have a rock in his hand. He has his hand open to say, let's get acquainted. That is not just a bunch of nice advertising for God on a Sunday morning. That is the most real statement I could make, and you could experience that today. So please don't pass that by. Here also, church members, folks who come here regularly, hear this. Josh learned the welcoming power of God through you. There were people like Kathleen Wright and Marilyn Timmons and Joe Beebe who welcomed him, longtime members of this church who welcomed him to be a part of this place and said, we're glad you're here. So those are things we need to hear. Now, Jake, tell us about the guy.
Yeah, so as the three of us are studying this passage earlier this week, our series is on grace and new life, or grace and transformation. As you look at it, though, you look at the story, there's a pretty obvious missing piece, somebody that should be there that isn't. We hear that they drug this woman out in the act of adultery. And so, you know, there's some guy out there who either was fast enough to jump out of a window or slip out of a door, or we don't know the whole story, but some guy got off scot-free while the girl he was with got drug out in front of everybody. You know, we have a pretty tame pictures up on the screen, but if you're caught in the act of adultery and drug out by your hair with a group of people that want to stone you to death, it's a pretty terrible scene. But there's some guy who, as it's happening to her, probably thinks, oh, I got off scot-free, or I got off easy. And he probably maybe was even thankful that he wasn't there in the middle of this circle. And it's easy to look at the lady and think that she has hit rock bottom, and she has. But the crazy thing about the story is the lady is the one who gets the chance to receive grace, and she's the one who gets the chance to have a new life. Whereas the guy in the story, we don't ever hear anything about him, and he doesn't get this face-to-face encounter with Jesus and this opportunity to change. And so I know we've heard here at Maywood testimonies in the past of people who have totally hit rock bottom like this lady, where everyone around them is condemning them, and all of their mistakes have caught up with them, and they're having to face it right in front of them. And that's a moment, a lot of times, when we do see Jesus is there and he's ready to accept us and he's ready to give us a new chance. But there's a lot of other people who go through life, and maybe some of you are in the room today and all of your mistakes haven't caught up with you. You've been fast enough on your feet to really avoid facing the music yet. And you could still just walk out of this church today and you still maybe think that you can keep playing the game and stay one step ahead of your problems. But as we read the story today and we read more about this lady and the chance that she gets, the guy had that same chance. Like, all of us have a chance to accept Jesus' grace and to accept the challenge that we're going to talk about here in a minute. But if you don't have all your problems staring at you and there's no other way out, you have to make that choice. Do I want to say yes to Jesus? Do I want to go look for Jesus, or do I want to just kind of keep trying to slip out the back door and avoid my problems? So how did Jesus really help this lady, though, Bob? More than just saving her life, how did he change her scenario?
I want to get to that, but I just want to, sometimes when Jake speaks, I want to drive home his point. He made an extremely important point. I just want to underscore it in bold. He just said, if you're here today and you have popped up your little spiritual umbrella and you've taken all that we've said about God's grace and you've shed it off on somebody else thinking you've got it all together, you are maybe just like the guy who escaped and thought he got free. And you're missing an encounter with Jesus. And I would encourage you to drop that little spiritual umbrella and say, okay, God, how does this apply to my life? I've got it put together. I've got some good things going on. But how do I need to meet you today? And maybe the next section would have to do with that. I stopped Jesus right in the middle of a sentence. Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. But then he went on and said to her, go and don't sin anymore. A few years ago when I read that, it really dawned on me. Jesus was not pulling out a good old Baptist hammer and whacking her upside the head and saying, now, quit being a sinner, okay? What he was saying to her was he was handing her a wonderful gift. And that wonderful gift was this: you no longer have to be bound by your old life, okay? And so, Jake, why don't you talk about getting free? Tell us about that.
Yeah, here's the crazy thing about life is that a lot of us think, oh, if I want a good life or if I want good things, I need to go do X, Y, or Z. But as we go down that road, a lot of times we wind up just where this lady's at. If you think about the lady and her motivations, the Bible doesn't give us the details. But think about, why was she committing adultery? It's the same, probably some of the same reasons people commit adultery today. Maybe she felt lonely. Maybe she felt like she could get some sort of power or some sort of leg up on somebody else by doing this. Maybe she felt like she needed that acceptance or that warmth. But where whatever she was looking for, I'm sure she didn't want to end up in a circle, half naked, surrounded by men who wanted to kill her. Like, I'm sure that was the exact opposite of whatever she was shooting for when she thought about committing adultery. And a lot of times sin, actually I would say all the time, sin is like that. It promises us life. It promises us good, fulfilling things. And it leaves us in the total opposite, how did we get here, disaster, when we follow it to the end. You know, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to tell the truth, and we feel like, oh, if I just lie, I can keep this relationship going, or I can, I won't have to face the pressure or the struggle. But where does that take you? It takes you to a place without trust and a place where relationships are broken. So a lot of times we think, oh, I can get the acceptance or the good feeling or the satisfaction that I need, but it leads us to more hunger or more loneliness or more struggle. And I saw a really good example of this when I was in Mexico, and it wasn't that Mexico is really that different in this case than America, but it's just when things are in a different language, sometimes you pay more attention to them than you would normally. So I watched a Coke commercial while I was in Mexico, and Coca-Cola was really a giant in Mexico. Everybody drinks Coke, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner pretty much. And even little babies would be literally in baby bottles with Coke in it at like 1.5 years old and stuff like that. Yeah, it's like you see that and you just think like, oh my gosh, we do terrible stuff to our kids too and don't realize that no one says what to us. But anyway, so this isn't like Mexico's bad, but I see this Coke commercial, and in the Coke commercial, everyone is young and happy and super excited and like doing adventurous things, like really active lifestyle stuff, and they're all have great teeth. And and then when I go around in Mexico, though, Mexico is the second most obese country in the world, obviously behind the good old U.S. of A. In that, but it's very obese. There's a lot of diabetes in the area I was in, at least. There's a lot of people with bad teeth as well, and that's not all Coca-Cola's fault, but if you drink Coke 3 times a day, it doesn't help you have young, healthy friends and active lifestyle and good teeth. You know, like it doesn't do anything that the commercial was about. The commercial promises all this crazy stuff that has nothing to do with an unhealthy drink. But that's what the commercial is about. And that's what sin is about. This idea that like, oh, if you go and commit adultery, or if you go and do drugs, or if you go and follow money wherever it leads you, whatever sin that you take hold of, your own pride, it promises you all these great things, but it delivers something terrible. And so when Christ comes and he gives her this grace to say, I'm not going to throw a rock at you, I'm not going to condemn you, it's not just you're off the hook. A lot of times we fear sin because we fear punishment. We think, oh, I don't want to go to jail, or I don't want my wife to divorce me, or I don't want my parents to yell at me, or whatever it may be. The thing we should fear about sin is that sin is going to ruin us, like from the inside out. The hook of sin is sin itself. It's not that we're going to get punished by somebody else. It's what it does to us and to the people we care about around us. So when Jesus gives her grace, it's a grace that does have to do with Jesus taking our punishment. But it's also the grace to say, I want you to have a better life. I want you to have a full life. I want to take the evil thing out of you. And as humans, we have the choice to say yes or no to that. The woman, we don't know her story. We don't know how it ends. Does she go back with that guy? Does she go back with some other guy? Or does she take this moment with Jesus and say, I'm going to take the chance that he gave me, and I'm going to live a new life? You know, we don't get the end of her story, but we don't get the end of your guys' story either today. Each one of us today have that same opportunity. Jesus is here saying, I don't condemn you, but I want you to live a new life, a life where you let go of that sin. And your story isn't over. You get to choose. It's easy to read the story about the woman caught in adultery and think, oh, she needs to get away from that guy. But what is the sin that's hanging you up? If you were going to take a critical eye to your own life, if we condensed your life into 3 paragraphs, what would the advice be that comes crystal clear? Like, oh, well, they need to do A, B, or C. It's pretty easy to look at her life and say, what does she need to change? But what do you need to change in your story? What's the sin that Jesus can set you free of today?
Yeah, and you know, I try to talk about this in the Bible study before this, and we say it from the pulpit a lot too, and I try to touch on it every time I get to speak, is when we come here, it's really the most important thing that you can do, the most life-giving thing that you can do today, is to find out what you're going to change about yourself today. To not leave here today without saying, I'm changing that about myself today. If you don't do that, years can pass by and you're just walking through the motions of going to church and you haven't changed at all. That's a tragedy. On the other hand, if every Sunday you'll hear what these guys say, and you'll say, yeah, I do have some sin in my life. I'm getting rid of that today, man. I'm going to take Jesus' grace, and I'm going to change today. And I'm going to change next week. And I'm going to change next week. And I'm going to change the week after that. Over the course of 5 years, over the course of a year, over the course of... You're a completely different person, man. You've come alive. The reason why... I want you to understand this, dude. I sit back there a while back when I first came to this church and I said, what are those guys so freaking excited about? And they're up here clapping and dancing around and people up in the front row got their hands up in the air and I don't freaking get it, man. I do today. I understand today. Those people said, yes, Jesus, I accept your grace. I will go away and sin no more. And they've experienced this freaking new life, man, this transformation where God's not only changed their actions, but he's changed what's in their heart, man. He's made them a new person. He's took away the brokenness, man. He's taken away the brokenness, man, where we're beat down by this world, man. And he's given them a new life, man. And they're excited. And that's why they're standing up here with their hands in the air. That's why they're so excited about this whole thing, man. That's what it is, man. Having said all that, I will come back to what I said before at first. Find out what it is in your life that you need to change today. Whether it's the way you talk to your spouse, whether it's your failure to spend time with Jesus, whether it's you looking at pornography. No matter what it is in your life that needs to go, say yes to him today and get a new life.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Bryce, I'm going to pick on you for a second. A couple weeks ago, Bryce was sitting where you're sitting, and God gave him the one thing to do. And that was, Bryce, this is the last day you're ever going to smoke. And so he stopped. Amen. By the grace of God. And he has a smiling wife and family who are glad that Dad doesn't smoke anymore. It may be something different for everybody in here, and probably will be. But that's the beginning point. Now, here's please. Here's God's grace. He does not have a rock in his hand ready to get you. He doesn't have a big club where he's going to whack you for your sins. All right? In fact, if you could use that image of a club, Jesus went and was stretched out on the cross beams of a cross in order to say, I forgive you. So he welcomes you. He really does. You can live with him as your best friend. But as your best friend, he is going to speak to you today. Everybody here, he's going to say something to you, and it may be a small decision or a big decision, but you can choose something for him that will make you resemble this lady. Get up. You no longer have this thing looming in your life that has power over you. You can live free. So if you would please, let's go ahead and stand, and our worship team is going to come. And we're going to give you a chance to say yes to the Lord. So let's pray together, and then you respond. There'll be folks up here who'd love to pray with you. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for a beautiful story of you changing one person's life. And Lord, we ask today that there will be many lives changed and made new by your grace today. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your greatness. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You respond, please, as God speaks to you.